If you got your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to run through, I've got four verses in different passages of the New Testament I want to talk about this morning. And we've been running through this year, we've had three themes that we've been looking at through the year, and we're just coming to the end of our second one, which is the theme of freedom. And so I want to just wrap this up a little bit this morning with the idea that that for us to live in freedom, it's actually an action thing that you and I have to do. Freedom is something we fight for. It's been given to us in full by Jesus, but you and I need to apprehend it. We need to take hold of it. We need to fight for all that God has for us. Because my experience in my world is the moment you stop putting energy into your journey and your relationship with Jesus is the moment that it stops moving forward and it starts to stagnate and then begin to slide backwards. Is anyone with me on that? If at any stage you get in your walk with Jesus to a point where you are comfortable, where you become stale in your faith, where you're not stepping out, as I've been talking about the last few weeks, where you're not getting yourself out into areas that stir you and challenge you, where you feel a little bit scared because I need God to come through in this situation. When we're not in that environment, where that's not a daily or a regular occurrence in our faith, we've actually stopped putting energy into the thing that's most important in our world, which is our relationship with Jesus. You know, as Sonia shared that story about the car, you know, and driving the car and Daniel's passion for cars and that excitement, if there's not a burning excitement in your life that Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened for you in your world, if that's not something that is still burning and alive in you, then I want to challenge you with the fact that probably you've become stale in your faith. Is that pretty blunt? Because let me tell you, Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to this planet. Because he showed us our potential. He showed us how much more there was for us in pursuing the life that God has for us. And then he didn't just show us, he then gave his life to make it possible for us to live in all that God has for us. You know, that is... You know, sometimes I think in New Zealand and in the Western world, we've lost some of the excitement and the understanding of how important and how significant what Jesus has done for us is in our lives. The fact that we have been set free, that God has proclaimed you forgiven, righteous, and his child is the most amazing news that has ever been broadcast on this planet. The fact that you and I were created for a purpose and that God, right from the beginning of time, knew that you were going to be here today and he knew that you had a purpose and a plan that he had created you for. And that in Jesus, you can discover purpose and opportunity and have hope for tomorrow. Not just for today, but also for tomorrow and whatever may come. You know, we're going to face difficulties. We will face trials. We'll face struggles in our lives. That is a given. It's not an easy process. But in that process, Jesus has promised he's in amongst it. He's right with us in it. You know, that is good news. You are never alone. You're never on your own. You're never without hope. You're never without joy. You're never without the presence of God in you. That there's nothing that separates you from God anymore unless you let it separate you from God. See, God is for you. He's not against you. It is the biggest and most exciting news on the planet. And if there's not something when you begin to sing some of the songs and and things happen in our services. And when you pick up the Bible and you read, and particularly in the New Testament, when Paul is saying, come on, the gospel, the good news, we need to be living it. We need to be pursuing it in all of our lives. You know, he was talking to people who were facing persecution, who were facing death, who were facing isolation in their communities. And he was saying, you know, what you're facing is just insignificant in comparison with the awesome news that Jesus is King, he's exalted, and he's Lord of your life. Whatever you face, come back to the good news that Jesus is yours and he is King. And one day, whether it's tomorrow or in 30 years' time or 100 years' time, when you pass on, you're going to go and meet him in the air. You're going to be with Jesus and you're going to experience all that he's got for you. But today, you're on a journey of discovering it now. The suffering, the things that you face are just a small token on the journey of experiencing the good news of Jesus at work in your life. Wow. Come on, am I excited? Are you excited? There is something about Jesus that should excite us. There's something about the good news that should stir us with excitement. You know, we were standing in our prayer meeting this morning and started off, I was first in, and then we had some quite a few girls come in, ladies come in. And as is normal in my life, I'm surrounded by women, amazing women. It's just the way it is in my world, and I'm really happy with that. Except in that moment, and I went, oh man, it'd be nice to have some more guys. And then about four guys came in, and as they came in, we started to cheer them as they came in. And then some more girls arrived, and they walk in, and everyone goes, yay! And they're like, what did I just do? And there was this sense of celebration of each person as they entered the prayer meeting. And I'm like, that's what we should be. That sort of attitude should be happening in us whenever we think about Jesus. Is there something should rise in our hearts and our spirits that just leaps for joy? It's like, woohoo! Yeah, Jesus, he is so cool to me. What he's done for me is so amazing. There's something should be stirred in our hearts. Are you catching this morning? Oh, this is not anything to do with my message yet. See, I'm excited, you know, because I can look at the world and I look at it with eyes of hope because I know Jesus has already won the victory. And his plan will always come to pass. What he has declared will come to pass. So it may not come to pass in the timing, in the way that we think it should. And sometimes we'll experience things that we go, yeah, I'm not sure that it was part of God's plan. But we can trust Jesus, we can lean into him because he's trustworthy and he's for us, not against us. Amen. So let's read these scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Run to win. It's actually okay to live with a competitive nature. When it comes to the things of the Spirit and the things of the kingdom, let's be people that are running to win. I want to attain everything that God's got for me. I don't want to experience something after someone else has experienced it. I want to run into it and taste it first. Yeah? How many of you have raised the dead? Not yet. Run to win. How cool would it be to be the first person in Carpentier Impact Church to be able to say, I prayed for someone who was dead and now they're alive and they're sitting right next to me. That would be pretty cool. How many of you have prayed for someone recently and they've been healed? There we go. Those of you who didn't have your hand up, run to win. There's people ahead of you. See, Paul was trying to stir something. You know, we in our Kiwi nature, we go, oh, no, we can't do that. We've got to bring everyone together. You know, I actually need to be inspired by people who are in front of me who've tasted things that I haven't seen, because it inspires something in me that there's more of God. You know, I'm standing up here this morning, not with all the answers, but I think something has stirred in my heart. I've got a passion for something that you need to be grabbing right now. It's in the Spirit. And if you're struggling in your faith, grab it. Just say, I want a bit of that enthusiasm in me. I want to stir that in me. You know, I'm not just stirred up because I'm preaching a message. I'm stirred up because God is stirring something in me. Is he stirring something in you? Run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I'm not just playing at this game. I'm living with purpose. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I discipline my body. I run with purpose. I run to win. So you and I are fighting. We're running for purpose. We're running to experience all that God has for us, the freedom he has for us. It requires work. It requires discipline. It requires effort for all of us to experience the fullness of what God has for us. It takes discipline. It takes work. Yes, God has given it all to us by his grace, and he empowers us by his Holy Spirit. But Paul is also saying that there's something that you and I have to do in amongst this. We have to work. You know, I find one of the things I find with football, when I play it, if you don't know, I love my football. I love playing football. I enjoy my football. But one of the things that I hate about football is you have to get fit to play it well. And fitness requires work. It actually requires discipline. You can't just show up on a Saturday morning, especially at my age, or a Saturday afternoon. You can't just show up and play 90 minutes without feeling the effects of that for a long time afterwards. You've got to get fit. And for me, that's really terrible because I don't like running. If I'm playing football, it's slightly different. There's a leather thing that you chase around, or a synthetic thing that you chase around, and you kick it, and hopefully you get it in the back of the net, and there's this feeling, yeah! But when you're just pounding the pavement and running a street, there's not the same excitement and purpose. I'm just running this pavement. And so for me, I actually have to discipline myself. I actually have to activate, and I'm just working on activating my competitive nature. I'm highly competitive. One of my big challenges on the football field is sometimes I'm not so nice because I'm quite competitive and I want to win. I hate losing. And I've got to bring that into my exercise so that I'm fit to enjoy the game. So trying to create an environment where I'm competitive with something or with myself so I can beat my time from last time. Or I can do that better than I did last time. And so I have to discipline. I have to, because it's not something I naturally love to do. And I think that's true for us in our faith, is we're constantly in this battle, in this war within ourselves to continue to fight for what God has for us. Because in our own nature, we tend to settle for what's comfortable. We settle for what's easy. We're quite happy to settle down in front of a good movie rather than get up and go for a run. I'm talking to myself here, not you. We settle. And Paul's in this passage is challenging us, run to win. Get your attitude that you're in pursuit of a prize, one that is of more value than winning a medal or getting a better time, or winning a game of football, but I'm in a race for something that's eternally important. Next passage, 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, for which you have declared so well, of which you have declared so well before so many witnesses. Again, Paul is exhorting Timothy to action. You know, in all of the words there, he's going, run from evil, pursue righteousness, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight. Hold tightly. There's this action that you and I are called to do. We're called to be putting energy into something in our faith. You know, I love the fact that our salvation is a free gift of God, but then we're called to work it out. Work it out. Bench press it. Exercise it. Use it. Fight the good fight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. You know, everything in this world is set up by our enemy to work against us. But we know the truth is that greater is he who is in us than he who's in the world. And we don't, you know, sometimes we can look at things and we can go, that person is the enemy or that idea is the enemy. Actually, the enemy is unseen. And he's working against you and I and our success. And our job is to be strong in the Lord, to not be unaware of the fact that we are in a battle. And when you're in a battle, you actually need to be active against the forces that are active against you. You can't enter a battle without actually being active. Standing in a battle, standing your ground, is being active. Standing is being active, because when you're in a battle, just standing your ground requires action. It requires energy. Have any of you ever tried to stand under a waterfall, like a waterfall that's falling, tumbling, and you go under the waterfall and try and stand underneath it? It requires a lot of energy when the water is smashing on you, right? Has anyone been there? Have you been, the other illustration when I was thinking about this was, there's a wave pool in Porirua, which when it's going, it's pretty, you go down there and even when you go to the beach and you try and, you know, and the waves are crashing and you try and stand under it, actually you have to brace yourself to take on the wave, right? I remember watching a YouTube clip, this is a terrible thing, where they had a, sorry, I shouldn't be laughing, but it is terrible. Where they had a wave machine that went wrong in China, and it set off this massive wave that wiped everyone out and people out the back of the pool and everything. It required energy to stand in that one. And people weren't braced for it. But there's this idea for us that we're to stand. We're to fight the good fight. We're to stand firm and be strong in the Lord. You know, you and I have been given freedom, but for us to experience it at all, it actually requires yours and my energy. We have to run, we have to fight, we have to stand. My last passage is 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through to 16, and it says there, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scriptures say, you must be holy because I am holy. See, Peter in this passage is exhorting the people, prepare your minds for action, exercise self-control. This idea that God has given us this free gift, but for us to experience all of it, we actually have to be prepared and involved in action. We have to be self-controlled around our purpose is to experience all that God's got for us. We've got a race to run. We've got a fight to fight. And we will win. Amen? And we will win. Why do we know that? Because Jesus has already won the victory. He's already conquered sin and death. See, this is the amazing thing about this competition that we're in. We're guaranteed winners no matter what happens. That is the best competition because it means that every energy, every point of action, everything you do is never wasted. It's never wasted. No matter what the result you see, if you've stood in faith and you've expressed your faith, you've given it a go, you've stood, you've fought, you've prayed, you've run with all your energy in pursuit of what God got for you, if it didn't turn out the way you expected it to, it's not wasted. It's never wasted because we know that one day we'll be standing with Jesus and he'll have had victory over everything that opposes us. Nothing is wasted. You know, that is the best kind of life. Because it means the more I center myself on Jesus and allow him to lead me, no matter whether it happens the way I think it will or won't, whether he does it according to maybe what we expected or not expected, that doesn't matter. Because in the end, Jesus has won. So let's be people of action. Let's be people who take the time to prepare our minds. Who actually say, you know, I've got things in my mind that are giants. You know, the word that Cheryl brought this morning. I've got things that I'm facing that are giants in my world. And to face those, I actually need to prepare my mind because most of the battle takes place in your mind. Most of the battle takes place in what you think about yourself and who you are. See, that David conquered Goliath not because he picked up 5 stones, but because he actually believed what God said about him. And believe it or not, it didn't matter what weapon he chose because the victory, as he declared, well, the victory was the Lord's. Right? It wasn't about David. We celebrate David, but it wasn't about him. It was because Jesus had revealed something in his heart. And it's the same for us. We need to prepare our minds. We need to exercise self-control. For some of us, you need to stop doing some stuff that you're doing. Why is that? Because you've been set apart. God has set you apart as a vessel of honor. When he says, be holy as the Lord is holy, holy is not that you have to attain some level of no sin in your life, because actually that's not possible. The idea of holy was this idea that you are set apart, that you've been prepared as a vessel of honor, so live as a vessel of honor. In Romans 9 and 2 Timothy 2, it talks more about that, that you and I are prepared to be vessels of honor, but we choose whether we stay a vessel of honor or whether we become a vessel of dishonor. See, we're to prepare our minds, we're to exercise self-control, we're to be set apart, we're to be holy, so that God can use us to show the truth of the salvation message. See, this world needs to see people who are living out the truth of the gospel, who are excited about it, that want to share it. You know, Jesus is the best thing that's happened to me. you should give him a go because he's awesome. You know what he's done in my life? It's like I've got this brand new car that sticks on every corner no matter how fast I'm going. That there's this rush that happens in my life when Jesus is in my life. You should taste him because he's the best thing. That's what this world needs to see. We're people like that. Amen. God, let's pray. God, I thank you that you are here by your Spirit. Thank you that your presence is in every life here. Whether we're acknowledging you or not, you are here because you're as close to us as the air that we are breathing right now. And so, Father, I ask for each life here, each person here, God, that we would open our heart again afresh to who you are and what you've done for us. Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life, that you showed us what had always been true, that God is for us, not against us, that he wants us to live in wholeness. And God, we thank you that your plan for us is good. Help us to stand. Help us to run. Help us to fight. Help us to exercise self-control. Help us to prepare for battle, to prepare our minds so that we can live where you want us to live, in freedom every day, and experience the fullness of life that you gave us to give. Thank you, God. Father, I speak blessing over every life here this morning. God, I pray that we will be stirred with a fresh passion for Jesus, a fresh excitement about what you've done for us. And God, that we would live that out every day. In Jesus' name. In your name, Jesus. Amen.